Good morning. We begin a new sermon series today. It's the faces of Jesus. Don't you love these up here? After the service or sometime this season, because we're going to have them up for the whole season of Lent, which is the next 40 days, we're going to have these up here. And we got lights coming on. There we go. So there they are. We have 14 of these, seven on each side. They're all different. They're deliberately from all different ages, different backgrounds. Some are very contemporary. Some go way back. Some you may recognize. Some of these may be very new to you. So, how about this? Come up sometime and just stand and let them speak to you. See which maybe one of those particularly on this side or that side speak to you and let it draw you in. And see what these faces of Jesus may be saying to you. There's something to be doing during this season of Lent. We don't know what Jesus looked like. That's a good thing. You know, if Jesus was here today, we'd have 1,000 pictures on Facebook. We'd be looking at every single thing about him. We'd know exactly what he wore, you know, what color eyes he, what hair, how long his hair really was, you know, how he talked, what was his voice like. You know, how tall was he? How short was he? Appearance is so important to us. We can't imagine that 2,000 years ago they really weren't interested in that, which helps us. So that way Jesus can be whoever he is in every culture. You know, I went to Africa, 1990-something, and I was in Zimbabwe, and there they had a picture in a church, a United Methodist Church, and there was a picture of the Last Supper, and Jesus was in red. And there was a drum there, and there was African food on the table. And I thought, of course. How else would he be portrayed here? It's just great. What was he like? Well, in Mark it says, people heard him gladly, which means he must have been easy to listen to. You know, attractive. We know this about him. He must have been very kind. He must have been tender, open. Children came to him. You know, imagine the children coming to him. People who children like, you know, there's something about them, right? Because children aren't rationalizing this. They're just there. And children came to Jesus. Disciples tried to keep children away, but they came. And so we can picture these, you know, these children around Jesus, maybe one sitting on his lap, you know, close enough to touch him, looking up into his face, seeing that tenderness. Here's what Dostoevsky said about Jesus. I had to have a Russian today for some reason. Anyway, I believe there's nothing lovelier, deeper, more sympathetic, and more perfect than the Savior. I say to myself with jealous love that not only is there no one else like him, but there could be no one. I would say even more, if anyone could prove to me that Christ is outside the truth, and if the truth really did exclude Christ, I should prefer to stay with Christ and not with the truth. There is in the world only one figure of absolute beauty, Christ. That infinitely lovely figure is, as a matter of course, an infinite marvel. Infinite beauty, infinite marvel, and he's more. Contemporary song goes, we are a moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. You are the love song we'll sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Sovereign of all time, sovereign of the past, the present, the future. Jesus is Lord of all time. What does it mean to connect with him this way? What does it mean to be part of his being and time? To be with the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus was there at the beginning of the heavens and the earth. Now, Jesus Christ was with God in the beginning. He's the personification of what took place since the beginning of time. Personification of what took place before there was time. When stars are born, when planets are put into orbit. You know, we're awed by these things. Eclipse, we had an eclipse this summer. You know, we're awed by these things. Who else could paint the world the way we just saw it painted last night and today? Who else could do that? Who else has that paintbrush, you know, to paint the colors that we see? Can't even describe sunsets or dawns. It's God. God is the God of all nature, all creation. He lived on earth in a particular time, particular place. He spoke the languages he spoke, Aramaic and Greek. You know, he lived the way he lived. He lived in a culture just like we do. You know, just like we do. He was exactly like us. And yet, he was with God before time. He's the God of all nature. And one day he will come and his kingdom will come into fruition. In the book of Hebrews, it says, long ago God spoke to our ancestors in many and curious ways, various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory, the exact imprint of God's very being. He sustains all things by his powerful word. Past, present, and future meet in him. Past, present, and future. We're going to talk about time today. Jesus is Lord of time. Let's break that down. Fighting. How do we deal with time? One way is we fight it. You know, we battle it. Time is important to us. We don't want to lose one bit of it. We don't want to waste time. You know, we don't want to lose time. We try to hold on to it. Have you ever tried to hold on to time? Try holding it. I lost it. It's still moving. You know, as soon as we think we got it, now it's past us. It's already gone on. We cannot do that. We try. So we end up kind of battling it. There's a study done of 18 to 55-year-olds who said that their number one worry is not having enough time. I don't know what happens after 55, but 64% said that they almost had never had any extra time. We battle time by trying to fit in as much as we can in a day, a minute. You know, we try to fit. I'm one of those. Admit it. I'll just do one more thing. Just get another thing in there. I probably don't have enough time, but I'm going to try to make it. I try to squeeze it out. Try to. You know, I can beat it somehow. I can win this thing. I don't know who I'm proving that to, but try to live like that. I have a friend that does national workshops, and he says, you know, you got to know where you are in the country as to how they see time. He says, in the Midwest, everybody's there 15 minutes early. In the Northeast, a few minutes after. We're trying to fit everything in. You know, one more thing. You know, time always wins. We don't like that. You know, we don't like to have that happen. We can't manufacture time, even though we try to move ahead of it. There's a story told of a corporation that hired some primitive, quote unquote, people, folks who may not live at the same pace we do, and so they wanted, you know, probably paying them less, more than likely, but paying them overtime because they were working 7 days a week. You know, a lot, you know, just trying to get put stuff out there. But one day, the locals decided to take a day off. They didn't tell the managers, they just did. They just didn't show up one day. And when the manager inquired what was going on, they said, "We have to let our souls catch up with our bodies." Yeah. Instead of battling time, pushing it, why don't we accept that we have all the time we need? We have all the time we need. We can live in abundance, which means abundance of time. We have all the time we need to do everything we need to do. What if instead of fighting it, I'm going to offer this as a way of getting that we forgive it. We forgive time. You're not really against me. You're not really, too scarce for me. You are everything I need. Time is a gift from God. We have this time. Let's receive it. When we forgive time, we allow it to be what it is. We're no longer, thinking it's working against us, trying to catch us unprepared. We put down our armor. We let go of our defenses. We accept that there's more time available than we think. Now, football players, we hear this in football. They'll say about a quarterback especially that the game slowed down for him. The game slowed down. Game didn't actually slow down. Didn't slow down time. Didn't slow down the pace. Professional football or college football goes very fast. So that's not it, right? They're not going half speed. But the quarterback, let's say, is able to see the field, the whole field. They're not trying to rush into the play or into that moment or go quicker, go ahead of things. They're kind of allowing it to develop, as they say, see the defense, see where the gaps are, see where the holes are. The game slows down for them. Like them, we can learn to participate in time rather than trying to get ahead of it or to manage it. So, another way we try and deal with time as we run from it. We flee from time. We like to go back. We like to live in the past somewhat. Nostalgia. Or we like to live in the future. In Gulliver's Travels, the Lilliputians are convinced that Gulliver's watch was his god because he looks at it so often. I wonder about if Jesus was sitting with the 12 disciples today, they'd be sitting around the table and all disciples would have their cell phones. Now Jesus is trying to talk about, being a servant, wash their feet, and, please put your cell phones away. Who do we worship? Where do we put our attention? Yeah. Peabody and Sherman. Remember Peabody and Sherman? Mr. Peabody, that's the dog, and Sherman is the son. In the late 50s and 60s, this was a cartoon on the Rocky and Bullwinkle show. So Peabody got Sherman a gift, and it was the Wayback Machine. Remember the Wayback Machine? So that meant they could go back in time. And these episodes were Sherman and Peabody going back in time and experiencing, something about history. They went back to Roman-speaking times, to ancient Rome, and they were speaking Latin, and Mr. Peabody pushed a button, and they could hear it in English. And what they found out was this guy that they were talking to was a used chariot salesman. And at the end of all of these Sherman and Peabody cartoons, there was a little kind of a lesson, a little quip from Mr. Peabody. And one of them was, "Set the Wayback Machine to my puppy days, Sherman, so I can pummel you when you try to have me fixed." So we love, being able to play with time, go backwards, go forwards, imagine what it would be like back there. Imagine, what was it? The Flintstones and the Jetsons, right? We had all those. Or we have Back to the Future. Who didn't love that? Or Time Tunnel, another TV show. Or currently, Outlander, right? Same idea. You know, the imagination of, you know, living here but bringing something of today back, or the other way, you know, kind of living in time and space that way. We like to be able to do that, and that's a, you know, there's a good thing, escaping like we sometimes do into those kinds of thoughts. But along with escaping, you know, there's a balance here. What about also finding something, not just letting go or kind of letting go of where we are, but finding what it might be to live into time, finding something new instead of just going for the former things. Maybe it's, you know, something new that we haven't experienced before. You know, what song or what channels do you have on your radio in the car? Are they oldies? You know, are they looking back? What about some, you know, trying a different channel? Doesn't have to be brand new, although it could be. Maybe it's a different type of music, a different type of input that we allow ourselves to hear. You know, time is allowing us to, we don't have to just look back. We can be doing that. Maybe it's a new hobby. Time expands when we're focused on finding, not just fleeing. So in relation to time, it can be forgive rather than fight. It can be find rather than flee. And also, the other one is about freezing time. We like to freeze time. You know, we've had moments in our lives that are kind of special moments. You know, they seem like they're eternal. You know, God moments, when things all fit together and we can't even explain how it all worked out, but that moment, that time is just, you know, it's going to live on. Yes, those moments are great. We want to celebrate those. But we also, you know, what I want to say is those moments can expand us into some larger view of what God is doing. It's not just that moment that God was working in. It's not just that moment that is, you know, that clearly, you know, wonderful, you know, full of wonder. That's the way God is with us. Those kinds of moments can be much more often, you know, if we allow ourselves to be free to experience where God is going, not frozen. We don't have to freeze our special moments in place and just kind of be stuck there. We can allow them to be signs of the way God is with us all the time and is inviting us to be. According to the creators and writers of Doctor Who, BBC series, imaginary story of Doctor Who, there are time lords in Doctor Who travel through time and space in a ship called a TARDIS, Time and Relative Dimensions in Space. In the episode Blink, Doctor Who explains that time itself is not linear. He says, it's actually a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff. Perhaps not as eloquent as the Bible, but it's speaking about the same thing. In the Psalms, David says, with you, 1,000 years is but a day. How could this be possible unless we're talking about God who simply is? When Moses asked God for God's name, this is in the book of Exodus in the Bible, God's response is, I am who I am. And when Jesus is in front of Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate says, who are you? He says, I am. Linking back, right, to God. I love that. And our scripture for today is the disciples with Jesus, or disciples together in a boat. Jesus wasn't with them at the moment, but they go out into the boat in the Sea of Galilee, and here's one of the lessons. Don't go out in a boat with the disciples in the Sea of Galilee unless you're ready for a storm. There's always storms, a little dangerous out there. So they're out there, and there's a storm, and the wind is blowing, and they're far from home, and they don't know, you know, from the land, and they don't know what's going to happen, and they see Jesus. This is the scripture. When evening came, Jesus' disciples went down to the lake. They got into a boat and were crossing the lake to Capernaum. It was already getting dark and Jesus hadn't come to them yet. The water was getting rough because a strong wind was blowing. When the wind had driven them out for about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the water. He was approaching the boat, and they were afraid. And he said to them, "I am. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and just then the boat reached the land where they had been heading. Didn't think they could ever get back to land, and somehow there they were. I admit for much of my life the phrase, "I am," when referring to God, when God says, "I am who I am," I thought, you know, can't God give us a little more than that? You know, was Moses going, "Okay, but can you give me a little more here?" You know, or Pontius Pilate, "Right." As I've been working on this sermon, putting this together, I'm seeing that there's probably, "I am" is a great, let's put it this way, it's a summary, it's kind of a, it's the little version of saying, "I was, I am, I will be, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again." "I am" is a shorthand for that. "I am" is saying, "I am with you all the way through. In all of history, in all of creation, and in all of your life, all of your history, all of my life, all of my story." C.S. Lewis made this observation about time. He said, "Time is always now. Always now. Which means our past can begin to change so that our forgiven sins and heavy sorrows take on a quality of heaven." What an idea. If "I am" is always now, then whatever has happened in the past, our sins, our sorrows, the heaviness, the brokenness, the pain, the wounds, the hurt that we carry, those memories that don't go away, just kind of hold us back, all of those can be redeemed. You know, it's not just that we're living in this time. We're living with Jesus in all time, which means, you know, as we draw near to him, we can experience what he brings, which is a going back to those places and redeeming them, forgiving them, putting them into a different perspective, allowing them to be us to let go where we need to let go. Scriptures say of Jesus, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. With me, time is no more." Or another way to say it is, time is fulfilled. All time is Jesus, belongs to Jesus, including those times that are our hurtful times. We fight, flight, flee, or freeze, but God's response is to say, "Relax, I am. I am here. Don't be afraid. You keep trying to battle, run, and try to hold on. I am here. I am here, here, now, and I was with you then." For Christ links to our memories and our dreams, our histories and our promises. I mentioned our son Jordan before, but when he was about 12, it was a time in his life when he was growing up and things were going on that he didn't like. He was very unhappy. He was in our den, and he was crying. He was just, you know, like shouting at the world, shouting at me, shouting at the, just wanting everything to be different. He couldn't change it. No, he was out of control. Went out the back door, was out into the backyard, and he was running, and I just went after him. I didn't know, what do you say? I didn't know what to say. And I got to him. And I didn't know what else to do. I put my arms around him and I just held him. And he, you know, his breathing slowed down, started to breathe, you know, started to, you know, calm, felt at peace. And it was as if I was saying to him, I am. Fear not. I am. Whatever it is, I am. However you feel, I am. That's how personal God is with us. That's how close God is with us. God is embracing us with that I am. It's not just a sort of a title up there. It's a God embrace, touching us. Sometimes we just need to be touched. Sometimes we just need to be held. Sometimes we just need to know I am. That's all we need, isn't it? As Lord of time, Jesus is redeeming, can redeem, will redeem, whatever it is we give him. Let's rely on him, the Lord of time, and his words of promise. Behold, I am making all things new. All things new. Think about your times, your lives, the great moments, the tough ones. He can help you today. Here's a poem that John Donne wrote. This is in the 1600s. It goes like this. God made the sun and the moon to distinguish seasons and day and night, and we cannot have the fruits of the earth but in their seasons. But God hath made no decree to distinguish the seasons of his mercies. In paradise, the fruits were ripe the first minute. And in heaven, it is always autumn. His mercies are ever in their maturity. We ask our daily bread, and God never says you should have come yesterday. He never says you must come tomorrow. But today, if ye will hear his voice, today he will hear you. He brought light out of darkness, not out of a lesser light. He can bring thy summer out of winter. Though thou have no spring, all occasions invite his mercies. All times are his seasons. All times are his seasons. All of your times are in his time. We don't have to go through all of our changes. This can happen, you know, right here and now, right when we need it, right when we need him, he's there. So this week, I'm inviting you to offer some part of your time, something you can't let go of, something that's maybe in your past, or maybe it's some hope or dream or concern or worry about the future. Whatever it is, I'm going to invite you to give that to him. Don't worry about when it was, what it was. Let him be the Lord of your time. Let him take those moments, that experience, and allow him to redeem it, to free you from whatever way that time has been making you captive. Give it to him. Jesus, who was and is to come, who died and rose and lives again, who was crucified and lives and will bring us with him that one day. Him, that Jesus, the great I am, may all of your time be redeemed by him. Let us pray, God, as we come before you today. We admit that time is always getting away from us. But today we pause to say thank you for the moments of our days. Thank you for the time you give us. Thank you for time not just being clock time, but God time. Time that includes so much more. Opportunity for us to see and be with you. For you to bring about what it is you want in our lives. That you're giving us the time for that to happen. It doesn't matter what's happened or how long we've waited or where we've come from or what we're afraid might happen in the future. All those things are brought together in the great I am. who says, I am. Fear not. I will help you. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.